Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 7, Text 27. I will read Text 27. It's Text 28. Text 28. And I will read Text 28 alone. And then we'll read Text 29 together, because 28 has no purport.
Gala grahana nischisto daityo nirgata lochana avyakta ravonya pata sahabalo vyasur vraje.
While Krishna grasping him by the throat, Trinavarta choked, unable to make even a sound or even to move his hands and legs, his eyes popping out, the demon lost his life and fell, along with the little boy, down to the ground of Raja. So we'll read Text 29 together.
Tamanta riksha patitanam silayam. Visarna sarvavayavam karalam. Puram yata rudra sarena vidam. Striyo rudatyo dadrasu sameta. Tam antariksa patitanam silayam. Visarna sarvavayavam karalam. Puram yata rudra sarena vidam. Striyo rudatyo dadrasu sameta. Tam antariksa patitam silayam. Visirna sarvayavam karalam. Puram yata rudra sarena vidam. Striyo rudatyo dadrasu sameta.
Please chant.
Tamantriksa patitanam silayam. Patitam silayam.
Yes.
Sena Samavayam Karanam.
Vaishnavis. Come onto the demon Trinavarta. Antarikshat, from outer space. Patitam, fallen. Silayam, on a slab of stone. Visirna, scattered, separated. Sarva avayavam, all the parts of his body. Karalam, very fierce hands and legs. Puram, the place of Triparasur. Yata,
as
Rudra Sarena, by the arrow of Lord Shiva. Vidam, pierced. Striya, all the women, the gopis. Rudatya, although crying because Krishna was separated from them. Datrasu, they saw in front of them. Sameta, all together. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki. While the gopis who had gathered were crying for Krishna, the demon fell from the sky into a big slab of stone. His limbs dislocated as if he had been pierced by the arrow of Lord Shiva, like Triparasur. Please repeat. While the gopis who had gathered were crying for Krishna, the demon fell from the sky onto a big slab of stone. His limbs dislocated as if he had been pierced by the arrow of Lord Shiva, like Triparasur. Purport. In transcendental life, as soon as devotees of the Lord merge in lamentation, they immediately experience the Lord's transcendental activities and merge in transcendental bliss. Actually, such devotees are always in transcendental bliss, and such apparent calamities provide a further impetus for that bliss. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamini Namaste Saraswati Deva Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesa Sunyavadi Prastatada Satarine Om Jnanam Timirandasya Jnananjana Salakya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guru Namaha. Before I start speaking, I will beg for the mercy and permission of all the senior Vaishnavas, including Maharaj, to be able to speak something on Krishna consciousness for the benefit of myself and all of us who are trying to practice Krishna consciousness under the guidance of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. So the purport is pretty small, but the main essence in this purport that I can see is Prabhupada is speaking about transcendental bliss. which is derived from engaging in transcendental activities in the process of devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And based on that, I have I'm going to speak more on what is this transcendental bliss and what Prabhupada and the previous acharyas have mentioned in their purports and commentaries on not just what is transcendental bliss, but what is the process of attaining this transcendental bliss. And to start off, the first thing I did was to look up what does bliss mean in dictionary definition. You know, it's very important for us to understand what is the definition of bliss. So in the dictionary, the definition for bliss is supreme happiness, utter joy or contentment. Supreme bliss or supreme happiness is the main meaning of bliss. And then I looked up what is the meaning of transcendental. And transcendental means relating to something spiritual or to the spiritual realm is what is transcendental. So what is transcendental bliss? So transcendental bliss means that gives you inner happiness, ananda. So it is something that we inherently experience from within. And that is what gives us ananda. And that's why if we read this chapter, The Killing of the Demon Trinavarta, Prabhupada has mentioned in previous verses and also going forward about Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Vigraha. Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Vigraha from Brahma Samhita. And Prabhupada is mentioning Ananda Chinmaya Rasatmatayu Manasu Ya Praninam Pratifalam Samaratam Upetya Lila Itena Bhavanani Jayatya Jashram Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. The Brahma Samhita Ananda Chinmaya: I worship Govinda, the primable Lord, whose glory ever triumphantly dominates the mundane world by the activity of his own pastimes. Being reflected in the mind of recollect souls as the transcendental entity of ever blissful rasa, Ananda Chinmaya. Prabhu mentioned a lot about the shloka Ananda Chinmaya Rasa. So I just wanted to just mention about it briefly, since Prabhupada is mentioning that in the purports on this chapter. I would also like, just like Godachandra Prabhu the other day was mentioning about the demon Trinavarta, what this symbolizes in our own devotional life. The demon Trinavarta represents actually a lot of anarthas. Some of these main anarthas, which are pretty heavy anarthas, is the pride of useless learning. So Trinavarta, the demon Trinavarta, actually represents the pride of useless learning. He also represents false arguments. He also represents dry logic or reasoning. And Trinavarta also represents associating with like-minded persons, means like-minded persons who are in the category of useless learning, false arguments, not in the association of devotees. And Bhaktivinod Thakur actually mentions in his commentary that Trinavarta ultimately represents atheism or not believing in God. So you can see that Trinavarta is representing very strong forces or anarthas that we need to overcome. I wanted to bring that also to the forefront, that what he is representing. And Srila Prabhupada says, actually Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Goswami says on this, it is actually Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Goswami mentions in his commentary or purports on Brahma Samhita, that being compassionate by the humility of the prakshaniya, child Krishna kills the demon Trinavarta and destroys the thorns of the on the path of devotional service. So this act of Lord Krishna as a child killing Trinavarta, the inner meaning for us as practicing Krishna consciousness is that by killing this demon, Lord Krishna is actually destroying the thorns on the path of devotional service. And that's why if we see what Trinavarta represents, which is false arguments, the pride of useless learning, dry logic and speculation or reasoning, Lord Krishna is removing those from our path by this killing. So that is very significant. Also significant, you know, because the previous translation was about while Krishna grasping him by the throat, Trinavarta choked and unable to make even a sound or even to move his hands and legs, his eyes popping out, the demon lost his life and fell along with the little boy down to the ground of Raja. In the previous purport, Srila Prabhupada says that demons also have yogic mystic powers that they can accumulate. So he had actually, by Mahima Siddhi, expanded himself. But then Krishna all of a sudden showed his Mahima Siddhi. And as we know that the Lord is full of all opulences, the six opulences, which means also unlimited strength. So when Krishna manifested his Mahima Siddhi, he became more heavier than Trinavarta. And so Trinavarta no longer could carry this child and fell very heavily. And his limbs scattered, actually broke. So again, that is also to glorify or actually bring forth that the Lord is always the Lord, whether he is in the form of a child or in his youthful age. The Lord is always omnipotent, is always full of all his potencies. Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj also states that Krishna's pastimes are manifested only to devotees. These pastimes dominate the majesty and beauty of the mundane world. Because you see, we are speaking about transcendental topics relating to Krishna. When we read any of the literatures, Srila Prabhupada mentions several times transcendental activities, transcendental pastimes. The word transcendental is used literally several places, several times. And Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj states that these pastimes actually are only manifested to devotees. And they dominate the majesty and beauty of the mundane world. Because in the mundane world, as we know, most of the people who are not conversant with this science fall back on newspapers, magazines. They read all kinds of mundane literature. But when they're reading this, they are not actually relishing anything transcendental. Because to relish anything transcendental, it has to be connected with the activities and pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when we actually, through Shravanam Kirtanam, through the hearing and chanting process, start associating or listening, then we start actually feeling that inner ananda or bliss. And that's why in the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions that devotees of the lodge actually through transcendental activities come across or actually feel that transcendental peace, eternal happiness. So there's another shloka also in Brahma Samhita, which is speaking about the transcendental activities or attributes of the Lord. Premanjana charita bhakti vilochanena santa sadeva hidayeshu vilokayanti yam shama sundaram achintya guna swarupam govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primable Lord, who was Shama Sundar Krishna himself with inconceivable innumerable attributes, whom the pure devotees see in their hearts with the eye of devotion tinged with the salve of love. So the pure devotees see in their hearts. So in this connection, it is further said that two devotees see that form in their purified hearts under the influence of devotional service. Srila Prabhupada mentions in his purports that this form manifests in purified hearts under the influence of devotional service. So it doesn't just come about, it comes about through the process of devotional service. And Srila Prabhupada says further, that if this is not coming about after chanting and hearing, then the stumbling block is offenses. And offenses to who? Offenses to Vaishnavas, to devotees. And that is the major stumbling block, that although we are chanting and hearing Krishna Katha, if we are not progressing, we are not feeling that transcendental bliss, then we should ask ourselves introspectively what is going on. And Srila Prabhupada says the most critical thing is offenses. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj says further in the Brahma Samhita, on the purports, that the form of Shama is the transcendental variegated color affording eternal bliss and is not visible to the mortal eye. So even he mentions, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj mentions about the form of Shama and that variegated color, you know, like the monsoon cloud, actually affords us eternal bliss. And further, it's further said that Krishna manifested in Vraja. Only the devotees at that time cherished him eternally present as the priceless jewel in their hearts. And that's why you can see that the gopis and gopas were always in transcendental ecstasy. Because when Lord Krishna manifested himself in Vraja Bhumi, the devotees cherished him eternally. Now we know that currently we have two ways of associating, especially with the acharyas, through Vapu and Vani. Vapu is the physical presence and Vani is the instructions. So if we are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, which we are doing every morning, or Bhagavad Gita and chanting, we are actually associating with the Lord, only that the Lord is not physically present, but the Lord is physically present in his Archa Vigraha form in the temple. Now, do we have the eyes or the perception to feel that just like the cowherd gopis and gopas and the damsels of Vrindavan were seeing the Lord in person every day, that we are actually seeing Rukmini Dwarkadesh is not different from Krishna. We are actually associating and seeing the Lord daily. But are we at that level? Are we pure at that level? But the process is there. The process is there. We have the Lord physically present as the deity form in the temple. And through instructions from bona fide spiritual master Srila Prabhupada, he is present through his Vani, which we are sharing. So it is just that we are not at that stage that we can see Krishna present. But the notion should be in our mind is that how eager are we every day to come and see the Lord? We are actually very fortunate in that, because we see the Lord daily. And so that's another very important point that I wanted to bring out, that Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj actually states that that gives us eternal bliss just by seeing the form, the beautiful form of the Lord, dressed very opulently and majestically. And further Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj says, the form of Krishna is visible to the eye in proportion to its purification of by the practice of devotion. So, just like I mentioned earlier, that we are not at that stage, but that stage eventually comes by the purification through the practice of devotional service. And Srila Prabhupada mentions that transcendental knowledge is the mature fruit of devotional service in the Bhagavad Gita, and one situated in this knowledge need not search for peace anywhere else, for he enjoys peace within himself. So the peace is within yourself. And Srila Prabhupada ends that purport by saying this is the last word in the Bhagavad Gita. So the fourth chapter, which is transcendental knowledge, Srila Prabhupada says that this is the last word in the Bhagavad Gita, because we are at peace within ourselves. and that is transcendental bliss. That peace is transcendental bliss, and that is achieved through the practice of devotional service. Srila Prabhupada also says that to cherish this transcendental bliss, the chanting and hearing is paramount, is the forefront. That we must chant and hear Shravanam Kirtanam. Because when we hear Krishna Katha, when we chant the names of the Lord, there is no difference between the names of the Lord and the Lord. And this is actually given to us in the 8 Shikshastakama prayers by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, where he says, Namna Makari Bhauja Nija Sarva Saktis Tatra Pita Niyamita Smara Nakale Namna Makari Bhauja Nija Sarva Saktis. That in the names of the Lord is invested all the transcendental potencies, all the transcendental energy is in the name of the Lord. So by the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, when we chant the mantra, the energy is already invested there. So that is why Srila Prabhupada mentions so much about chanting and hearing and avoiding the offenses, because that will bring us to the transcendental platform. And at that transcendental platform, we are at peace within ourselves. We feel that ananda. And Srila Prabhupada very clearly continues to say that this faith is attained by discharge of devotional service. And that is basically what we are trying to do. We are practicing devotional service. Further, Srila Prabhupada mentions that the natural consequence of hearing Hari Katha is attainment of that transcendental knowledge in the association of devotees. If we see the first page inside Srimad Bhagavatam, you can always see that it is in the association of devotees. The Sukadev Goswami is speaking to Parikshit Maharaj in the assembly of devotees. Again, association in the assembly of devotees. And that's why Trinavarta, one of the anarthas he represents, is association with like-minded people. What like with materialistic propensities? We are told not to be in that association, but to be in the association of devotees. And when we are in the association of devotees and listening to Hari Katha, then that transcendental knowledge is awakened in us. And through that, we engage in devotional service, which is the practical part of it. And then through that practice of chanting and hearing, we come to the stage of enjoying the transcendental bliss. And through that, we get the peace. So it is all coming in a very synchronized, systematical way. And Srila Prabhupada continues to say that pure devotees exchange feelings of ecstasy between themselves and relish transcendental bliss by sharing and speaking about the transcendental pastimes of the Supreme Personality of God, not about mundane matters. Or what is Trump, President-elect Trump, speaking about border security now? Or what is going on in LA today? But about the transcendental activities, glorifying and speaking on the transcendental subject matters is what gives us that bliss. Srila Prabhupada continues to say that bliss is experienced by our relationship with the Lord, culminating in conjugal love, which is the highest state of transcendental bliss. As we know, we have different rasas, dasyam, sakyam, you know, in parenthood, in servitude, but it culminates eventually in the transcendental rasa of conjugal love or madhurya rasa. But this relationship with the Lord, when it is started, it eventually brings us to that bliss platform. Prabhupada also states that transcendental bliss is experienced even in the stage of devotional practice, which is sadhana avastha, if properly undertaken under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada very clearly states this in his purport in the Bhagavad Gita on transcendental knowledge, that you do not have to wait to experience this. But what is the criteria, Prabhupada says? If properly undertaken under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, we can start enjoying that transcendental bliss even in the sadhana stage of devotion, which is, as we know, sadhana is the preliminary stages. So that was very interesting, because generally we think that eternal bliss can only be achieved at a later stage, at an advanced stage. But Prabhupada says that even in the neophyte stage, in the beginning stages of our devotional practice, we can actually start getting this eternal bliss. And this is a very important statement by Srila Prabhupada, and this should give us a lot of enthusiasm to all of us who are practicing, that actually this is not something that we have to wait for too long. We can actually start experiencing it, provided we are following or undertaking the instructions under a bona fide spiritual master. Prabhupada continues to say that this topic should be discussed in the assembly of devotees as recommended in the Bhagavatam, which is said to be the Paramahansa Samhita. You see, so Srimad Bhagavatam is called the Paramahansa Samhita, and the devotees are called the Paramahansas because of the reciprocation process. So the Paramahansa Samhita Srimad Bhagavatam, when it is read and Krishna Katha is being discussed in the assembly of devotees, we reawaken our dormant consciousness to some degree, because we are getting Divya Gyan, transcendental knowledge, Divya Gyan. Chakshusha, it opens our eyes. It cleanses our heart, Cheto Darpana Marjanam. It cleanses. So our eyes have been opened, our hearts have been cleaned, and through that process of cleansing the heart, of reawakening our consciousness, we start experiencing this transcendental bliss. Srila Prabhupada continues to say that we seek happiness as this is the natural situation of the living entity. Happiness is sought, it's a commodity sought, because it is the natural situation of the living entity. So why are we seeking happiness? That's another question that can be asked or begged. Yes, because it's the natural situation, and we want to be in our natural situation, which is our constitutional position, Jiva Sarupa Krishna Nitya Das. So our natural position, our constitutional position, is reawakening our dormant Krishna consciousness. And Srila Prabhupada says, but in this material world, people are vainly seeking happiness in the material atmosphere. They are looking for happiness because it is the natural situation of each and of each jiva. But it's just been looked at in the wrong place, in the material atmosphere. And we know that in the material atmosphere, anything devoid of Krishna consciousness is not going to give us that happiness. Why? Because it does not relate to the Lord. Any activity that's not related to the Lord becomes mundane. Any activity related to the Lord becomes transcendental. You're just crossing over. And that is where the dovetailing of the consciousness is spoken by Srila Prabhupada several times, that we just have to dovetail our consciousness. It's not that the consciousness is not there, but we're just dovetailing it. So when we are seeking this in the material world, all we are getting is more and more anxiety, more and more disturbances in the mind, because we are seeking it in the wrong place, we are seeking it from the wrong source. And Srila Prabhupada continues to say, by discussions on the name, form, quality, pastimes, entourage and personality of the Supreme Personality, devotees achieve transcendental bliss. Just by speaking and hearing about the name. This is what Srimad Bhagavatam is. Srimad Bhagavatam speaks about the name, form, pastimes. We are speaking about a pastime here. It's a pastime, you know, of the Lord. We actually start relishing transcendental bliss. So Srila Prabhupada and the previous acharyas have actually told us that the process is very simple and sublime. And that's why one of the things Srila Prabhupada introduced was the early Srimad Bhagavatam class in ISKCON. Because when we listen to this transcendental literature, it is actually meant to bring us into a different realm. which is what we are all seeking. You know, in this material atmosphere, the materialists and all of us think that by gaining more wealth, by driving luxury cars, by sleeping on the fanciest beds, you know, I was reading an article about Donald Trump's penthouse, that it is bedecked with gold, marble, you know, and all these things. You think that you're actually in a different world, you're in a different league. But to be in a different league, you need to be a devotee. That's why Prabhupada called it the League of Devotees in India, maybe, you know. It's a different league. You're in a different club. But, you know, most people think, oh, by going to health clubs, going to this, you know, going and hitting the golf ball, which has become a very important, I call it fashion now, that, you know, I play golf, this is my... And it's very surprising, you know, when you ask a golfer, what's your handicap? It's called handicap. It's not even called, what is your proficiency? They call you, what's your handicap? They don't want to tell you, you know, because they're handicapped. They can't even hit a ball. You know, they're already handicapped. So, we're already handicapped by the duration of time we have. Srila Prabhupada actually mentions this in his purpose, that every day, it's actually the Gita says this, every day the sun rises, if we have not engaged, and the sun sets, if we have not engaged that day in the transcendental glorification of hearing and chanting the names of the Lord, we have actually wasted our time. With the setting and the rising of the sun, if a human being is not spending their time, then they are literally wasting. And then you go through a cycle of birth and death. Bhavanam janmanam ante jnanam annam prapatyate. We are very fortunate that we have come to this. And that's why Srila Prabhupada, in one of his memoirs, and then I'll end there, actually becomes very emotional. And this is related by Tribhuvanath Prabhu. And Tribhuvanath Prabhu says that actually Srila Prabhupada says, I have actually held Krishna. He actually holds his heart, next to his heart, his fist, you know, his palm, and he says, I'm holding Krishna here. Just come and get him. So Prabhupada has actually brought Krishna to us through this process of devotional service by seeing the beautiful form of the deities, by chanting and hearing the katha. All we have to do is take it. So with this I will end class. It is exactly 8:15. And I will let anyone give further suggestions, any questions on how to attain transcendental bliss. Yes. Just hold on for the mic. I think they're bringing the mic.
Thank you. I think of this word eternal and eternity and how to attain transcendental bliss. More I want to speak on eternity. I always think of, for a thing to be eternal, it has to be forever. It cannot start at a point like from now and then. Or some people say, like, after death, then you gain eternity. Eternity has to be before birth, all the time. It has to be all the time. So I just think of that eternity is all the time. And how does one gain transcendental bliss? The thought I had was that one has to realize that one always has it. I just wanted to say that.
You see, we are all eternal by constitution. That is what the Gita speaks in the second chapter about the soul. So the soul is eternal. And we are the souls, we are not these bodies. You know, Jiva Saru. So we are eternal. And eternally we are in bliss when we are eternally engaged in the service of the Lord. You know, just like we have this material world, in the spiritual realm, we have eternal activities going on permanently. In fact, in the spiritual world, the duration of time is not there, because it is on a transcendental platform. So yes, it is eternal. But the reason that we as eternal souls are not experiencing that connection is because our consciousness is polluted by the three modes of material nature, because we are so much engaged in the material atmosphere. And so when we are engaged in that, we forget that we are actually eternal. And that this is why the questions are asked, Athato Brahm Jigyasa, that why am I suffering? Why is it that I'm not happy? It's a very important question. It's what you're alluding to is very important, that constitutionally we should be eternally situated in that transcendental bliss. But why are we not? It is just because we are associating with mundane things and we have forgotten that. So immediately you start, like I see you have the chanting beads around your neck. That's your weapon for Kali Yuga. That's your direct communication, the 1-800 number, Hare Krishna. That's your toll free. So immediately you start chanting that, the jiva starts changing. Your consciousness starts changing. And now you're dulled in your consciousness. Now you've reawakened your dormant feelings. So keep that weapon. That is the most important weapon in the age of Kali. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.